another fresh word of God to come in. Can't get too much word. Brother John, come minister the word to us this morning.
Nama Karia Sokoria Sekoma Ala Korea Maria Sakuria Shatakudia Makaria Se Hekoba Korea Sikorbia Shakuria Se Ekoba Korea Satu Kamana Rubia Sikorbaria Se Ama Korea Mana Korea Sukorbaria Sakobasha Solo Korea Sikorbia Shatakudia Se Heba Baba Korea Maria Sukorbaria Sakobaba Korea Maria Si Ikoria Shuria Sekoba Sakre. I have said it. And I am moving and moving and moving. This is your season and your time. I have already put in place that which is necessary for you to walk out the promises that have been spoken over this house. I know some of you think, oh, it's not going to happen. They've been talking about that for years. I was here at the beginning and it's never happened. I'm telling you, don't doubt the word of God. Don't doubt what I have put in place. I ordained this house from the beginning. The man of God who established this house told you what I was going to do. I have not changed my mind. I have not said he went, therefore it will not happen. But the blessings that I have spoken over this house shall come forth. The ministry, the anointing, the power, the authority that has not been seen for many generations, but I am saying it is now full cycle, and my son shall be seen, and the glory of the Lord shall flow out of this house that has not been seen except in the word. My glory, my power, my anointing is ready to flow from this house, from this people. And I am saying what was said before. Get ready, get ready, get ready. For now is the time for the magnitude, for the years that the word has gone forth to become manifest. This is my word for this house.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Lord, we hear and we say, be it unto us according to your word. We are submitted to you, Lord. Move by your spirit through us, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Your word does not return to you void, but it accomplishes what you sent it to do. Lord, we thank you as your word comes to pass in our lives. Now, we thank you that this is the time. Amen. Well, praise God. Well, I have the unenviable task of coming up after all of that and sharing with you something, but it all goes together to reemphasize, underline what God is doing for us in this church now in this season. From the overall message is to go. That implies we're not staying here. Or it implies we're moving from this spot to this spot. Or if you will, we are moving from this stage to another stage. And so I love the word that Sister Aisha brought, going deeper. As we share the message today, because as you go deeper for a purpose, for a reason. As a matter of fact, if I'm looking back in the scriptures, I can remember that Moses got to stand before the face of God. And I don't think you can get much deeper than that. Looking, not into his front face, because he said that would have killed him, but looking into the glory of God. And he was so much in the presence of God that God's radiance transferred to him. And so when he came to the people were looking, oh my God, you know, his face is glowing. I think that's the purpose of going deeper, that as the revelation of the Lord is revealed to you in ever-increasing glory, because there is no end to the depths and knowledge of our God. There's no end to the depths and knowledge of his love. As a matter of fact, they say in the heavens and revelation, the reason why the angels shout is because they continually get a revelation of who God is. And so as we get that revelation and we get deeper, there is a transference of the light of his knowledge into us that then transfers from us to those around us. So what I think we're doing with this move, with this season that God is moving us into, is that we are weaponizing you. Asia said that we, the light, is a plague to the darkness. I think that's been limited somewhat in the recent centuries. And what I'm going to do is draw on Judges, the story of Gideon, a little bit to show you what I'm talking about. And from that story in Judges, about the sixth chapter, I believe, around the 11th verse, here's the situation. Israel is doing what Israel always does. God delivers Israel, says, serve me, don't worship any other gods. Israel gets fat and happy. They start worshiping other gods, going to sin. God turns them over to their enemies. They get oppressed. And then finally they call out to God. That's an old story though, right? Some of us are like that. Times of season of blessing, things get good. We might pray a little less. That's okay, Lord. You know, I don't have to do 5 minutes. I can do 2.5. Because I got a little more money, a little bit more time, a little bit more whatever. But we get comfortable. I don't need to go on Wednesday. I can just cover Sunday. I'm going to give $2 instead of $1. You know, I'm not going to talk about that. But you know, it's good. There's not the need to seek him out. But in controversy, when times are rough, that's usually what drives us back to our knees. To remember, you know what, I need something that's higher than myself. So this is the situation of Israel. They're in a situation where they've gone away from God. God has turned them over to their enemies, namely the Midianites. And as you can expect, they start calling out to God. And God shows up. He sends them a prophet first to tell him, look, this is what you did. You know what you did. And then he goes to Gideon. And this angel appears to Gideon. And in the initial conversation with Gideon, he gives him three encouragements. Number one, he goes to Gideon and tells him, you are a mighty warrior. Right out the bat, Gideon, you're a mighty warrior. At the time that the angel shows up to Gideon, Gideon is pressing out wheat in a wine press. Now, the reason why Gideon is doing this is because anytime the Israelites would go out to do crops, the enemy would come in and destroy all the crops. It said they'd come in with all their people and all their tents, destroying crops, destroying livestock, destroying everything. And Gideon's like, I had enough. And so Gideon is actually in hiding, producing the fruit of his labor. I think there's a stage of the believer today. There is a lot of revelation in you. See, as Asia was up here ministering and she was giving you the revelation, I know that it was very easy to say, you know what? She's talking about them. That's Pastor Richard, that's Pastor Michelle, that's Sister Nitra. And kind of exclude yourself from that conversation. That's them. My boss used to say, my other boss used to say, you know what, John, we are they. I knew what he said, but I kind of forgot. And one day I came up to him and said, you know what, they need to fix such and such around or whatever. And he stopped and said to John, John, we are they. You know how y'all are, they need to do that, they need to do that. No, 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 we're trying to get your mindset to switch. You are they. You need to take out your phone, put it on camera mode, flip the screen, and say, okay, that was talking to you. Yeah, we want you to be weaponized to go out and impact people for God. This is the situation Gideon is in. The first thing he says to him is, Gideon, you are a mighty warrior. So the first thing he comes out with is, Gideon, God sees more in you than you see in yourself. Because Gideon said, man, I don't have anything. I'm with the smallest family. There's no way I can be anything. He says, no, you're a mighty warrior. The second encouragement he gives Gideon, as I hurry, as we hasten to the end, is go in the strength that you have. Go, there's that word. You got to get up out this wine press. You got to get up out that church. You got to get up out your little world that you have created and go save this nation. Go in the strength that you have. The first encouragement was that you are more than what you see yourself to be. The second encouragement is that you have an untapped resource. He said, go in the strength you have. Gideon looking around like, man, I'm in a wine press. My family can't do nothing. He says, nah, brother, that's not the strength that you have. He says, because before that, he says, your God is going with you. As we send you out, again, it's the purpose of going deeper, you are going in the strength of the Lord. What we want to do is teach you how to tap into that and show you the purpose to tapping into that and that there's a reason to tap into that. But there is an untapped resource that is available to you that God wants you to draw on. So he tells him, you're a mighty warrior. There's more in you than you see in yourself. He tells him, go in the strength that you have. You have an untapped resource. And then the last thing he tells him, and all these things are supposed to be ministered on, he says, I will be with you. I will be with you. Meaning that you're not going to be alone in this work. Here's the thing that I've been going over and then trying to figure out. Because one of the things that the Bible encourages us is that God actually commands us, do the work of who? An evangelist. Not do the work of a pastor. Not do the work of an apostle. I have those. Not even do the work of a prophet. Now, I'm not saying that God might not have you go and prophesy. If you're getting deeper in God, there might be times that God tells you, hey, go to that person and say this. Because everybody wants to come up here, like Angel, like Damon, and say something to the people. But the word of knowledge, right, not necessarily for here. It happens here. But you can be at work. You can be at work. Your coworker is next to you. And God says, tell that man don't go to that bar today. Tell who? Tell him. Because there's a purpose in that. God is trying to show up in your job through you. And guess who's the vessel? You got untapped resources available to you. You might be standing next to a person and they sneezing and they cough and they just say, oh, I feel terrible. Guess what you get to do? And I say, you know what? If you come to church, Pastor Rich will lay hands on you. You might get a little better. Guess what? You get to say, man, you know what? If you don't mind, I'd like to pray for you. And you can do it, and you won't get slapped. I promise you. I even tried this when I was somewhere, and a person was sitting, man, I'm sick. And, you know, I thought, well, shit, it's an opportunity to pray. And the first thing that came up was, man, you can't pray with that person. What's wrong with you? That fear came up. I can't do that. Who do I think I am? She says, son of God. I'm actually one of the ministers. One thing like that. I'm like, man, I'm John. I'm trying to get up out of here. I said, no, you know what? All right. I said, excuse me, sir. I said, do you believe in prayer? After I said, what's wrong with you? I'm sick. I said, you believe in prayer? I said, yeah, I believe in prayer. I said, well, do you mind if I pray for you? And guess what? He said, go for it. If there's any way I can get out of this situation, I'm going, yeah. But it amazed me because all of my fears were unwarranted, right? Now, there might be some people who say, man, I don't believe in that. You say, okay, well, no problem, and move on. But we make it more difficult than it has to be. All God is telling us to do is go act so that he can step in and do what he wants to do. He's not showing up in Superman cape to do this stuff, but he's cooperating with us. But the people that are supposed to do it are in the wine presses hiding with Gideon. So that's what we're trying to do, or what we are doing, is we're motivating you to go and be a weapon for God. Because the world is getting louder. The world is getting more evil. In fact, I give you an example. I don't want to move into it because that was just the introduction. I said, oh, Lord. There was a little time back when Chick-fil-A came under barrage attack, where one of the CEO, whatever the company, the founder founded it. But anyway, came under attack because he said that he was in support of marriage between a man and a woman, not homosexual. I mean, that's pretty much all he said, which he's supposed to be a believer. If you don't work for Chick-fil-A, I think they interview you have to be a believer. I know to own one, you have to be a believer. So he's just saying what the Bible thing is. But the homosexual community got irate. Oh, he's homophobic and da-da-da, and they're raise people and don't go to Chick-fil-A. Or no, they were going to go and protest. So one of the sinners got out and said, hey, we want to support Chick-fil-A. They're a believer. They're standing up for God. Go eat Chick-fil-A today. And Chick-fil-A was flooded. We rose up. No, we're not going to take this. Yes, I want that chicken sandwich, the spicy one. And, you know, the homeless was like, man, what's this? We're supposed to be in here protesting. And, you know, Chick-fil-A stood up, right? It was a great response. Can't mess with Chick-fil-A. That's right. We don't open on Sunday. Did you know? Just recently, like not yesterday, but recently, Chick-fil-A, it was news. I think somebody sent it to us in our hangout. There was news that Chick-fil-A had decided to stop financially supporting Salvation Army, and there was another ministry. And the reason behind the scenes, the reason they gave was, hey, you know what? We're changing who we support. You know, we're just kind of doing different things every year, blah, 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 blah. But the other underlying reason was because those particular nonprofit organizations / ministries are against homosexuality. And Chick-fil-A said, we're not alone going to support them. So they're getting this press. Now the homosexual community uses this victory. Oh, yeah! We forced Chick-fil-A's hand. We brought them, which I didn't believe. Like, whatever, man. They support whoever they want to support. This is no victory for them. Little did I know that not only did they not support those ministries anymore, they redirected their funds to support nonprofit organizations that support homosexuality. Ooh. Now, I don't think that's under the beliefs of the founding CEO, but that's due to the loud pressure of the world. And I have no hate for Chick-fil-A. I will go there and get another sandwich. It's not going to bother me. My point is, what era have we come to where all the homosexuals are coming out of the closet and all the Christians are running into the closet? Come on, man. That's not the way God intended it to be. And I'm not saying go be mean to homosexuals. That's not our role. I'm saying this is not a time for us to back down with who God called us to be. Amen? So, what we're doing and going is we're weaponizing you to do what God called you to do. Now, you see what time it is. I had a whole message prepared. They say, don't short us. I'm not going to keep you long. I'll give you the highlights. But we want to motivate you as we go into what Damon was talking about with our evangelism group, all right? I want you to go out. I want you to think about these things because we want you to go in the strength of the Lord. All right, so let's look at those three encouragements. I'll give you the scriptures. You're going to meditate that. It's going to move you to move, all right? So the first and one is, there is more in you than you know. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. All right, starts off, and I like this, as Paul is encouraging the church of Corinth, who had numerous problems. But he gets down there in verse 6. He says, 4:6. Chapter 4, verses 6. For God, He said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Remember, we talked about light, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay. First encouragement, there is more in you. God sees more in you than you see in yourself. Every one of you are more valuable than you know. This man said that you have treasure residing within you. Now, he reminds you, he says, this is treasure in jars of clay. Why? Because if you look at yourself, you see you. I see me. I often feel shorter because it says when we see Jesus, we will be like him. We will be known. He's never are known. And you will see this glorified body. I often think, God, give us a glorified body now. So when I get out the bed and I go, ding, it's John. Right? You can see it, boy. I'm talking about Anisha. Wake up. You see all this. Come on, man. You walk into your job, there is a immeasurable light emanating from you. You just can't see it. But it's there. And the darkness is aware that it's there. But you got to weaponize it. I'm talking about, and see, I'm not just talking about, all right, you know, this person's going to come to you and they with a demon and it's, you got to get out of there. And he, you know, I ain't talking about that. That can be part of it. I'm talking about who the person whom God made you to be. People will come up to you and say, you know what, I don't know why, but I just like hanging around you. Because of what God put in you. I had a neighbor, had a kid who was giving him problems, and he would say some stuff when I was talking to him, and I would just start giving him encouraging word, coming straight from the scripture, but I didn't give him chapter and verse. I said, well, you know what? You should consider this. You should consider that. You know what? God made you the parent. Da, 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 da. He said, you know what? You give good advice. And he liked talking to me. He didn't like talking to me. He liked talking to the person that resides within me. That's who you are. That's the value that you have. You have treasure within you. And it tells us in the verse before that, it's the light of the knowledge of God that abides within you. God intends you to give that out. But you can't be Gideon hiding that knowledge all in the wine press. Or as Aisha pointed out, we up in the church, we're getting taught, and we go home, and then it's, who the cares? That's hidden fruit. Your fruit was never intended to be hidden. You may receive it here, but God intends you to be a channel through which that knowledge flows through. You see what I'm talking about? I'm not a receptacle receiving stuff. I'm a channel through which things flow through. I have God's love deposited within me, and I'm at work, and his love just, shoo, comes out and affects a person. I have peace all in me, and I get over this in this person, this trouble, and shoo, peace comes out of me. I remember one time Brian came over. He was sleeping over a couple of times. Brian remembers this. He went in and slept in my bed. The next day, said, John, you know what? Your bedroom is peaceful. You remember that? I don't know if you remember that. But he said it, and I'm a witness myself. That was where I prayed. I'm talking about the peace of God can move. It goes with you. You're a channel. You're a vessel. So there is treasure within you. You're more valuable. I'm just saying, you're not worthless. Gideon didn't think he could be an impact because of who he saw himself to be. I'm telling you, that's not you. Every one of you has the potential to change eternity. Eternity. Because when you surrender yourself to God and God saves a person, that's for eternity. You're dealing with eternal things. You deal on that realm. He said, oh, I can help somebody get money. That's temporary. Oh, I can help them get into this house. That's temporary. You change your life. That's eternal. That's only you. I'm just trying to show you that you're more valuable than you think you are. Look, there are treasures, the light of the knowledge of the Lord abiding within you, all right? Two, you have an untapped resource. Zechariah 4:6, you can write it down. God is talking to the man of God. He's talking about building the temple, but he tells him, it is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. By my spirit, you have the resources of heaven to draw from and work through you. Jesus said it this way, no one comes to the Father except by me. What does that mean? It takes the pressure off of me. We hear God saying, go, go, do the work of an evangelist. And we think, I have to convince Brother Rob to follow God. God never told you to convince somebody to prove to them that he is God. Just like he never said, John, you got to do something to heal Brother Rob. Right? If Brother Rob needed me to heal him, he'd be doomed. I don't have that power within me. I can slap him and give him more pain and he won't recognize other pain. I might like to do that because he's an Aggie. But I can't heal him. Right? But God didn't ask me to heal him. God said, hands you will lay, and well they should be. Then said, I'm a channel. That's not your responsibility to convince somebody to come to the Lord. What's my responsibility? To cooperate with the Lord. I'm going to dispense the information. It'd be the same thing if Richard said, you know what, we're going to have this festival and these people are going to come, and you know what, Brother Demetrius, could you give out the coffee for the people that come? He said, sure, I'll do that. Demetrius says, the door person comes in, Demetrius grabs the coffee, said, would you like some coffee? Person said, no, I wouldn't like some coffee. Then they pull out a gun and shoot him. Offer me coffee. That's not what they do, right? I said, no, I would not like the coffee. And he said, okay. And he goes on to the next person. That's all you're doing is you're offering people a cup of life. That's all you're doing. Would you like some of this life? You know what? I don't think I want that. Okay, that's not on me. Most of the time, though, or some of the time, as you're offering the cup of life that you have within you, people say, you know what? That tastes good. Would you tell me more about that? But that can't happen without you. All right. Because I see you looking at me with that look, checking to see if something's behind me. I am talking to you. Now, yes, you want to go out there, you want to live your life and live a good little Christian life. That's great. But sometimes you're going to have to open up your mouth and talk to somebody. All right? If you could communicate with your mind, then it'd be great. But that don't happen. My wife will tell you. How come you don't know what I'm thinking? You need some scale because you know what I'm thinking. Know how the women do that, but they know. But shoot, no, man. Open up your mouth and testify to the knowledge of God. You're not doing this by yourself. You're just cooperating and watching the Lord move through you. You're not by yourself. See, I'm not even going through all the notes. I'm just hitting the highlights. But you have an untapped resource at your disposal. It's the Father that draws them. He went on to say the Holy Spirit convicts and convinces of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Did you know that? You don't have to give this bloody message to show somebody how guilty they should be about doing X, Y, and Z. Not your job. You're sharing the truth with them. And you're letting God deal with their heart. Oh, my God. I give you a story because I want to drive it home, and then I'm going to jump off of this. There was a female, and I won't say any names because the wife gave me wisdom. So if we do put this on YouTube, we don't get sued. All right, but there was a friend that we have in college. So Damon knew her. I'm not sure Damon, but definitely Brian knew her, Ken knew her. This, I say friend, this is a person that we knew. And this person, they'll know who I'm talking about, so chatty that if they ever saw you and caught you and said, hey, you immediately lost an hour. I don't know if you know some of those people, but they stop and they talk, and they do not stop talking. I'm talking about they go, and by the time you get away, an hour was gone. I kid you not. I thought I was in a black hole. Anyway, this girl, I knew her before I got saved. I knew her before I got saved. She was, you know, nice-looking girl or whatever. Matter of fact, she's very attractive. I was, I'm gonna be honest, trying to get with the girl before I got saved. Just keep it a buck. So anyway, after I got saved, of course, I'm John. I'm doing my thing or whatever. I saw her very infrequently, I thought. Anyway, you know, whenever she saw me after that point, I would talk about God. Now, I don't remember talking to God with this person, but that's what I was during that time. They can tell you, boy. I'm telling you, I was serious, too. But I was out there. I mean, I was like, man, but I was wrong. I was like, you're a sinner. You need to get saved. So I was paired with Ken. Ken was all love, so it kind of it matched itself. They go to Ken, they would get right with me. That's, what's wrong with that dude? But anyway, this girl was a part of that period, and I was like, woo. But anyway, I hadn't seen her for a while when I was coming out of PCL. All you two people know what that is. About to go into Jester, because that's where my people hung. That's where Damon was, Ken was, all that good stuff. And before I got to step, this girl ran into me. So, you know, by the end, that's when I used to be cautious. I'm not as cautious now, but see, the girl comes, she said, John. I was like, ooh. You got to get ready, man. You got to prepare yourself. I know some of y'all dirty-minded people. They'll be like, hey, girl, what's up? Nah, I was scared. Y'all was like, whoa. She won't. Look at her. See, the time is right. Anyway, she said, John's like, you know, backed up a little bit. She said, man, hey, praise the Lord, brother. And I was like, huh? She had never said that before. Praise the Lord. I was like, what? She said, man, I want to testify to you. I knew I was about to lose an hour. It was gone. And she proceeds to tell the story of how she was doing, what she was doing, and she knew Christians that wasn't being Christians, and da-da-da-da-da. But every time she would talk, these people would try to talk to her, and she would dispute them because she knew what they were doing under the covers. She said God would come to her and tell her, well, what about John? I don't remember talking to that girl like that. I remember talking to her before I was saved. I don't remember, but she said God would constantly remind her, what about that dude? And she couldn't dispute that I was doing my best to live the way God wanted me to live. And it progressed so much to the point, through another person that ministered to her, she gave her life to the Lord. That's when she came to her, praise God. And I was like, what? I was still cautious around her because, you know, some of them people go bad, so you got to be careful. But anyway, she seen the whole dust. She went on and did her thing. But my point is, God was working in her without me, but he used me to gain entrance into her life. It's not all about you.
That's right.
But you gotta cooperate. What if every time that girl came around me, I just ran away, didn't let her know what it was about? I probably would have did it. He just wouldn't have been able to do it using me. I'm just saying, I'm not limiting what God's trying to do, but what I'm trying to let all of you know is God is working to co-opt you into what he is doing. Yes. You don't have to do it. You just have to come along with him while he does it. All right? Again, everybody look at themselves and say, he is talking to me. Go ahead, do it. Because y'all going to leave here and be like, oh, man, that was good. I don't even remember what he said. No, I'm talking to you. They're trying to get you to go do something that I know we're not currently doing. I know we're not currently doing it because I keep seeing y'all when I come to church on Sunday. I just see you and, hey, here's my friend. All right, so we're going to get beyond that. So anyway, there's more in you than you know, and you have untapped resource because you're not having to do the work. God is doing it through you, but he wants you to do it. Last point there, obviously, if there's more in you, you're more valuable than you know, and God is the one doing the work, the only thing he needs you to do is to be courageous. Does that make sense? Some people say, what is courage? Is it being out there and not being afraid? No, it's standing up in the midst of fear. Now, I have not done the research, but I'm convinced that the number one reason that most of us don't talk to other people about God is because we are afraid. There is no way I'm going to talk to that person about God because they're not going to like me. They're going to shun me. How dare I try to express my religion, because this is a freedom of religion country, and who am I to push my views on somebody else? Man, that is a bunch of poppycock. Poppycock. First of all, people came over here so that the state couldn't tell them how to worship God, not so that the state could tell us we can't worship God. So that has nothing to do with us. And secondly, that fear that we have of talking to other people is a learned behavior.
That's right.
It's a learned behavior. Now, there's some people that grow up and everybody's not extrovert. Everybody's not Tina. Tina goes in a place, Tina, life of the party. It's time to have, ask Tina. Everybody's not Tina. I'm not telling you to be Tina. I'm not telling you to be Tina. But in your place of comfort, that's why we talk about your place of ministry, your sphere, where you're comfortable, you can be you. You can be you. And there are people in your sphere that you can be comfortable talking to. That's who God wants you to reach. Now, there are people that go beyond that, right? They're usually the ministers, or as Richard tried to encourage us to do, we can go, when we go to the store or we go to a place, there's people that we can engage with. We just have to be willing to do something beyond ourselves. You have to do something so terrifying as say, hello. How are you doing today? And if they say, I'm doing fine, you say, you know what? This is a great day to do fine. And go on about your business. And I guarantee you, 1 out of 10 of those people that you talk to say, how are you doing today? I am not doing well. Ding, 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 ding. You can, she says, more than 1 out of 10. I'm being conservative. I want to encourage people. That's your opportunity to share a little encouragement that you have stored up within you. Why? Because God, by order, tells you that you have the light of the knowledge of God residing within you. You can tell that person, you know what, it won't be bad always, based upon scripture, because he says, after a little while, I will restore you. You don't have to say the scripture. You can just encourage them that there's going to be good times beyond this moment. And you know what, they may take that and say, you know what, thank you for encouraging me. You know what sometimes happens? Sometimes. I was talking to a person about, you know, what I knew or whatever. And all of a sudden they stopped. It was a girl, because most guys don't do this, but it could happen. It was there. She stopped. And all of a sudden, tears in her eyes. And she bubbled up and she started shaking. And she's like, man, I used to go to church. And I was like, whoa, wait a minute, man. I'm not telling you. What happened? Did I stink and it just caused her to? No. But as I was sharing with her, God was dealing with her. Now, not me, had no idea what was going on in this person's life, but God was convicting, and he had a willing vessel that was willing to share a little bit of what I knew, and he began dealing with that person's heart. And then God did whatever he did. That's what I'm just trying to encourage you to do. It's time to be encouraged that you are a mighty warrior for the kingdom of God, that God wants to work through you to bring change in the areas around you. All right, so moving forward into our now season, it's time to be courageous. We're going to give you the tools. We're going to do some training. We're going to do everything you need to do to adequately equip you to go do this stuff. But you know what? You got to go do it. I can't control the situations you'll be in, but I can prepare you for the situations you'll be in so that you can be all that God called you to be. Does that sound good? And then we can do something for God while we're here in this earth. Amen? Let me pray for you, because the next time you see me talk to you, we're going to be getting into you, and we're going to be giving you challenges to go out and do stuff. And we don't want to give you challenges, and then you come back next week and say, man, I heard that. I ain't do nothing, but I heard it. I was moved to go listen to some more stuff. That's not who we know. We're telling you, as a ministry, we are going to go do things for the kingdom of God, and we want all of you to be a part of it. Amen? Amen. I'm just turning it over to you. I was going to go ahead.
I tell you what, I'm excited about the month of February and what's coming up. We're going to have lots of teaching. Well, maybe not lots of teaching. Some teaching and lots of doing. Doing. And by doing it, I'm not saying I'm going to hand you a piece of paper and say, go do this. I'm saying we're going to load up a truck or a car or something with your body in it, and we're going to go. And we're going to do some on the job, and we are going to make an impact on the city of Austin and the state of Texas. You know, it doesn't take a whole lot. We just need to go. We just need to go. Thank you, Brother John. I'm just so amazed how God has, he orchestrates. You know, I get so, I don't want to say worried, but I try to figure out all this stuff. You know, okay, Sunday morning's coming. What do we need to do? We're going to have, you know, such and such is going to teach. And, you know, what about the flow of the Spirit, the flow of the assembly? If I just leave all that stuff alone, God works it out. Even from Sunday class, Brother Ken, what was he talking about? If you were here, how many were in Ken's class? What did he talk about? God in you, the hope of glory. And then Sister Aisha, and then Sister, what Michelle shared during worship, and then what Brother John shared. Wow, I couldn't have put all that together. That's a God thing. So y'all pray for me that I'd keep my hands off stuff and let God do what he wants to do. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the time that we have had today here in your presence. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that you are so faithful. You are so faithful to your children. You love us so much. And you prepare each heart, you prepare each life to receive and to give. And I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father. The words that we've heard, your word that we have heard, and then the words that you have revealed to us, we are so thankful. We choose to take those words and to hold them close to our hearts and implant them in our hearts so that they will grow and produce much fruit, and that fruit will remain. I thank you, Father God, for your Holy Spirit that continually leads us to you, shows us Jesus, and imparts your will, plan, and purpose into our lives. Father, we are open to receive and to do and to be obedient to what you have placed before us. I thank you, Father, that this is the time, this is the now, when we go, when we do what you have called us to do, and we become what you have already ordained and set us up to be. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Holy Spirit, seal that word in our hearts so that it, and bring it back to us daily, hourly, that we may constantly be aware of your calling, constantly be aware of your grace that you want to extend to others. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, don't forget that next week, first of all, Brother John ministered the word to us. We're going to be a blessing back to him, so let's be sure and take care of that. That is highly important in receiving the word that has been delivered. Wednesday night, we're going to be here. We're going to do it all again. And then next Sunday, the big Sunday, we've got the Ignite, young adults. I knew there was a word for it. Young adults. And that's not a oxymoron. Young adults. You can have young adults. Okay. Some of them don't act like it, but ours do, yes. Here we go. They're going to be blessing us next Sunday morning, and look forward to what they've got prepared, what God has prepared in them. And then that kicks off the month of February. It's the love month, according to whoever writes the calendar. And it's all based on love. Our evangelist endeavors is based on love. So we're focusing on love. We're focusing on evangelism and going. Again, I'm excited about it. Be ready. Get some rest, because we're going to hit the road running in February. So look forward to that. Stand with me. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. One more time. Let's just praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we thank you for your Holy Spirit, for your anointing, for your peace, for your joy, for all that we have experienced here this morning, Father God. We are so thankful. So thankful to be able to gather with our brothers and sisters and to fellowship and to be a family and to know that you are in us and you are working through us. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Hallelujah. 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 Receive the blessing of the Lord. I call you blessed. Say you are the light shining in the darkness. The light that shines out of you causes men of the earth, men and women, boys and girls, to come and to be drawn to you so that you may impart life to them. That you are the sweet smelling aroma of the presence and the fragrance of God in every place, everywhere you go. You are an ambassador for the kingdom of God. That no weapon formed against you prospers, but everything that would try to come against you, it falls ineffective in your life. That whatever you do prospers and is successful. Whatever you put your hand to, and wherever you go, you are surrounded by the favor and the goodness of God, and it is evident in your life, and you are blessed to be a blessing. So go and bless somebody. You are dismissed. We'll see you on Wednesday.